All right, divas, hetepu, welcome, bliss and blessings. We are here for our second session of Wealth Magic 101 Emergency Radical Self-Love Clinic. Today, we are moving into the energy of knowing and loving what is, integrating the art and pleasure of creative discernment. Juicy, juicy stuff right there. And as always, before we jump right into it, we must begin by centering and grounding ourselves. So I want to invite you, if you're not already doing so, to place your feet flat on the ground, wherever it is that you are sitting. If you're laying down, that's fine. Just make sure that your back is supported and that the rest of your body is straight, not necessarily curled in any kind of serpentine way. If you're sitting cross-legged, that's fine too. Just make sure your spine is straight. Freeing up your diaphragm so you can breathe deeply. So I'm inviting you now to just allow your eyes to soften and close if they want to, or half close if that's what's most comfortable. And take in a deep breath in through the nose, pushing out the belly, push in and hold. Hold that breath. Hold that breath. Hold that breath. Now out slowly through the mouth. Squeezing the belly. Squeeze every bit of air out. And release. Allow yourself to sink into this moment right here, right now. I give thanks for each and every diva assembled here, and all those you are connected to and represent. I give thanks for all the divine mothers whose names we know and whose names we do not know, who are represented in each and every one of us here. I give thanks for all those helper sisters who are in the here and now with us, whether or not we know their names, whose works, whose striving, whose hopes, whose lives lived in harmony, conscious peace, joy, and love are feeding us right here and now, and we'll go on doing so, and we will move more consciously with our sisters who are on this path. I give thanks for all those daughter selves who will come after us, who will one day gather into circles not unlike this one, and will reach back to honor those mother spirits who have gone before them, and they will be reaching back to connect with us. And I give thanks right here and now, and I celebrate that connection right here, right now, in the realm of the eternal. And I give thanks for the blessings, for the revelations, for the miracles these daughters of ours are destined to create because of the work we commit to here now. Humbly and with a sincere and open heart and womb, I offer this prayer as a grace for every living thing that I in my life displace, and an appeal to all that lives and courses within me. May all my daily deeds be worthy of all the lives that make me, that make us. If you so agree with this invocation and with the reconvening of this circle, please say with me now, Tu Ashe Aho. So here we are again in the sacred circle. I am still overjoyed, still grinning ear to ear, to be with you, to have this opportunity to stir the pot of transformation. It is so beautiful, everything that has transpired and everything that you're already integrating just from the first session up till now. And if you remember, I just want to give us a quick recap so that we get our heads right in the flow. Last session, you were able to see the truth about you, to see that that truth lived in your soul's inspired vision, otherwise known as your soul's desire, and not in the mental viruses you've become accustomed to calling your reality. You began your antiviral detox program by using breath and fire to confess and release your old mental viruses and replacing them with new positive reframes. And you were given, if you remember this, you were given what I called and what I told you was the golden key to ultimate receptivity. And if you don't remember what that was, I strongly suggest you make a little note right now on whatever you can to go back and revisit that first session and reclaim that golden key, because it is crucial. Because if you have begun practicing it, you would feel and know right now that it has well prepared you to take and run with today's session. And again, today's session, we are diving into knowing and loving what is, integrating the art and pleasure of creative discernment. Now, what the heck does all that mean? Like, what is discernment? And what's it got to do with my wealth magic? You got to be asking Diva Mama, what the heck? What's this whole discernment stuff, and what's it got to do with my wealth magic? Everything is the short answer. The not so longer answer is that your wealth magic and everything that you have expressed that you want to reveal by it, by your ownership of it, represents your conscious ownership of your creative power. That's your indwelling divinity. That equals your wealth magic. In my world, there's a saying that we have. You know, there's times where there's certain things that we do and we play at and we get involved in, and it's like, you know, little dramas and little stuff like that. And then there's time to be about grown folks' business. What we're talking about here, when we're talking about creative discernment, the art and pleasure of creative discernment, and integrating that into your everyday life, your everyday thinking and decision-making, we're talking about grown folks' business. We're talking about moving from a reactionary place of situations happening to you, circumstances happening to you and feeling like you're at the behest of that, to moving into deliberate creation. We're talking about maturity. Now, the system that I base everything that I offer from and that I practice comes from an ancient African Nile Valley spiritual culture. And that system is called Setimere. And that's all I'm going to say about that right now. You can ask me more about that in the circle online, and I'll be happy to talk about it. But I bring it up now because in Setimere practice, we have a definition of maturity, of grown folks' business, that will serve you well in integrating this art and pleasure of creative discernment. And that definition is this: your maturity is your ability to interpret, deliberately interact with, and create cooperatively with your world. I'm going to say it again. Your maturity is your ability to interpret, deliberately interact with, and create cooperatively with your world. Now, this is a spiritual definition, because your creative power is not just essentially spiritual, 100% thoroughly spiritual. Your creative power is your grasp as a human incarnation of the infinite. It is your grasp as that incarnation of that seed of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence that still lives and breathes within you. And that has to be the source of your discernment, the source of your decision-making ability, not those mental viruses that you learned to reframe in our last session. And this has everything to do with your wealth magic, because your material resources, all of our material resources, are the direct result of how well and consistently you live in and from your spiritual power. It's not just how well or consistently, but how well and consistently. And by well, I mean whole. How whole you can be in living from that power. How can you bring all of yourself to it? Now, there are two definitions of discernment if you look it up in the dictionary, like I did. And it's interesting because there's a secular definition and there's a spiritual definition. And seeing that, I can see why so many of us are kept in the cycle of lack and in the cycle of not really holding our birthright with confidence and with assurance. The secular definition says discernment is your ability to judge, to choose right from wrong, right? I'm just going to, without going into a whole bunch of stuff, I'm just going to ask you to flow with me on this. Throw it out. Just throw that idea out. If there's any part of that idea, that definition of discernment that is in your mind, just kick it to the curb for right now. You can pick it right back up after your time in this clinic is over, if you so choose. But right for our work, for right here, right now, I'm going to ask you to just kick that to the curb. Discernment has nothing to do with judgment. We are going to go with the spiritual definition. And in the spiritual definition of discernment, discernment is known to be perception in the absence of judgment. And it's a perception that we practice and maintain in order to obtain spiritual direction and understanding. Now, isn't that a trip? The two definitions are absolutely opposite. One, you're locked in judgment. You're locked in figuring out what's right, what's wrong, what's right, what's wrong. Sound familiar? It's a dead-end road. In the other, you're leaving judgment behind and you're tapping into a higher awareness that allows you to create from an inspired place. There's the creative aspect of the discernment. The creative aspect will come from inspiration, from the original creative power that is dwelling within you. Perception in the absence of judgment to obtain spiritual direction and understanding. That sounds a lot like love to me. Perception in the absence of judgment. For me, that is love. When we can perceive in the absence of judgment, when we can look at what is, whatever that is, and not judge it, whether it's an elephant turd in the middle of the living room rug, or a smiling child, when we can look at that, when we can perceive it, when we can look at it, smell it, taste it, be with it emotionally without the burden of trying to define it as right or wrong, when we can just be with it and accept our experience of it and its presence in our life as this is what is, and this is whole and perfect and complete. That is love. That is entering into a vibration of love. So how do you take this love and practice it as an art and as a pleasure? And how do we integrate that to get out from under all of the noise that the mental viruses have cooked up, have stirred up within us, and in our lives and in our circumstances? There's one very important thing that we have to remember, and keep reminding yourself of this. It's not your story, whatever that story is. It's not your story, but your resistance to it that creates the experience of dis-ease. Whether that dis-ease is the inability to go on that vacation you want to go on, whether that dis-ease is the inability, the perceived inability, to pay your necessary bills in a timely fashion or at all, whether that dis-ease, that story of dis-ease, is the lack of reciprocal love in the relationship that you want to hold most dear. Whatever that story of dis-ease is, it has no creative power. You are the only individual in your life creating, having the power to create for your life. You are the only creative power in the equation. And by your resistance to simply accepting and coming to a vibration, when I say love, I'm not talking hearts and flowers, a vibration of receptivity and simple acceptance, of the lack of judgment, of letting go, of the need to define meaning, of receiving, of being receptive to whatever the message in that thing is, whether it's an overdue bill or an angry text message or whatever. When you resist that thing, instead of allowing it, instead of occupying that place of love, that is what creates and sustains the dis-ease. That is what creates and sustains the drama. That is what creates and sustains the illusion of lack that keeps going on and on and on, so much that you can't even accept it. I'm calling it an illusion right now, because you're going, Diva Mama, I can show you my bank records. I can show you the stack of unpaid bills. I can show you all of the stuff that I want to do and have not done yet because I haven't raised the funds to do it. And I'm hearing you, I'm feeling you, and I'm saying to you, it's an illusion, because that's not your truth. The only truth in that equation is you misusing your creative power to create resistance. So how do we get out of the pattern of resistance? I got good news for you on that. I've already given you that key. That key, hopefully, you've already been practicing it. Because that key is something that I've given you already called womb centering. And the reason that I've given you womb centering is precisely this, so that you could get ahead of the game and get into that vibratory space. Now, one thing that you may have, most people, when we begin womb centering, we practice it as a meditation. You get into the space, you sink into the womb, you're feeling where your ovaries are, you're moving into that light space in the center of that triangle of your physical womb. You're sinking beyond the physical and into the universal place of wisdom and feminine power. And it's very meditative. It can be very relaxing. You may just drift off to sleep with it. And I know I say often in the beginning, just let yourself drift off. I want you to get used to entering that space. But there's two ways to practice womb centering. One is as a meditation, and the other is as a conscious walking activation. Meaning that you take, once you are used to entering womb centering, once you are used to practicing it, and you can enter into that space, really with a breath and a thought, like you just say, womb centering, I'm there. I'm there. I remember this space. It takes no more than 3 to 5 breaths, and you return. The next level for you is to take that enhanced theta awareness state and wake up with it. Open your eyes. Hold it while walking around in your life. First, you practice at home. Practice taking a whole shower or a bath. Practice brushing your teeth while maintaining that womb centering awareness, that maintaining contact, and brushing your teeth from that space. You continue to practice it so that you can walk out in the world with it. So that when these story bits, when these mental virus bits come up for you, the overdue bill, the angry message, that you can be conscious, alive, awake, wide, eyes wide open, driving your car, standing in line at the bank, wherever, and you can come into womb centering. Because that place that is the center, where you go to when you practice womb centering, is the vibration of absolute unconditional love, of absolute receptivity. It lives inside you. You don't have to be taught it. It is you. It's your basic power. It's the fundamental aspect of your feminine power. You can't shake it. It could not be cut out of you by any manner of scalpel, physical or energetic. It is who you are. It's the core of who you are. Womb centering is simply your way to dial into it. And if you can practice, if you begin practicing, walking into that on purpose, eyes wide open, changing resistance to allowing will become a game. It will become a pleasure. And the first thing, so that's the art of it, is practicing the womb centering. The pleasure of integrating your creative discernment comes in looking for the feel-good in the midst of the disease. Looking for what feels good and being in that waking, applied womb centering will give you that perspective, that enhanced perspective that you can be in that moment where you're looking at the mail that you don't want to look at. You're looking at the notice you don't want to look at. You're looking at the message you don't want to look at. You're in the conversation that you'd rather not be in. And you can take that moment and find that peaceful space and see what is in front of you from a new perspective. See it from the perspective that there's something to feel good about here. There's something to feel good about. I wonder what it is. I wonder where the feel good is in this. Because I guarantee you, there always is a feel-good. Overdue bill notice? Well, thank goodness. You know, I've enjoyed this service for lo these many weeks, months, years. And, hey, they're still willing to talk with me and work with me about it. That's a feel-good. I still have access to this. I have access. There's always something. There's always, and you can continue to look for it, the feel-good gets bigger and bigger. But you have to look for it because the mental viruses have trained you to not see the feel-good in the midst of that disease, to not see the healing balm that comes with every experience of dis-ease that you encounter. Because you are a divine creator. You would not encounter it if you did not have the means to absolutely dispense with it, to heal it completely. And lucky for us, issues of wealth and money are the easiest things to heal. We're not talking about, you know, immediate world peace and the end of all war. Not yet. That's another circle. The simple, you know, balancing of your personal economy, finding the feel good in that, and accenting that, is way easier than any of the other things that you would have, that I know you have on your list of transformations you want to be a part of, creating for all of us. So, if you so choose to, when we get into the question and answer, we can do a brief womb centering now to just recalibrate and get right back into that space. You should know that this circle, these circle sessions, this is a womb center. The energy of it, what we create together, is a collective womb center. But we can do one together if it's agreed by everyone assembled that this is what we want to do when we begin the question and answer. I want you to remember this. Knowing and loving what is possible. It's not just possible, it's guaranteed. Your ability to know and love what is. Not because you're going to improve it either. No self-improvement. Not, you don't love the elephant turd in the living room rug because you're going to sweep it up and you got the perfect cleanser for it. You love it because it's an elephant turd in the living room rug. Because it exists. Because you're able to perceive it. And you're able to have an experience of it. It's an affirmation of your aliveness, the fact that it exists. And when you can begin to practice that perspective, that kind of creative discernment, where you can perceive in the absence of judgment, you can let go of judgment. You will open up your eyes. You will see the miracles that abound, because miracles do abound for all of us. It's only our perception that wavers. So if you are a praying diva, and I pray that you are, don't pray for the miracle. Don't pray for the sack of money to fall from the sky. In your prayer, ask to see what you have not seen. Honor your divinity. Honor the gift in your prayer of who and what you know yourself to be. At your core. Don't pray as a victim. Pray as a conscious creator. You just need a little help seeing for power. And you will see. Before we open questions, I want to read you something from Ernest Holmes that is, I thought was really appropriate for our session today. The law of good is flowing through me. So these are words that you would say for yourself. The law of good is flowing through me. I am one with the rhythm of life. There is nothing, no thing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be uncertain about. Divine is over all, in all, through all. Divine is right where I is. I am at peace with everyone around me. I am at peace with the world in which I live. I am at home with the divine spirit in which I am immersed. I don't ask that you believe those words. I just ask that you practice them with the idea, imagining that maybe they might be true. What if? What if it's true? What if it's true that I have nothing to be afraid of? What if it's true that I have nothing to be uncertain about? What if it's true that miracles abound and all I need to do is adjust my lenses to see them? That adjustment, practicing the adjustment, is how we integrate the art and pleasure of creative discernment. And how we really move into full-time living by knowing and loving, really loving what is. Because that's where the creative power is. It's nowhere else. It cannot be anywhere else. It is only in what is. However disgusting and ugly and distasteful you may have been cursing it to be up until now, whatever your bank account is right now, love it. Whatever your circumstances, financial, relationship, sexual, friendship, spiritual, enjoyment, whatever those circumstances are right now, love them. Love them for what they are. Love them for who you are right now. Just love them. Love them for no reason at all, except that you can. Like laughter, we can laugh on command. You can love on command, too. Because you are a creator. Circumstances do not rule you. You define the circumstances, and it begins with loving what is, no matter what it is. It won't transform until you can see it and love it. Next time, in our next session, we will expand on this practice further with reclaiming your toxic agreements. For right now, I'm going to open up the line. All right, so I believe the line is open up now. Somebody, yep, line's open. I have some time for question and answer. We can discuss, as I said, if you want to, it's up to you. If you want to take some tape, you know, like 5 minutes and do a brief warm centering, I'm up for that.
Yeah.
Go straight into questions. Somebody said yes.
That was me, Anna.
Anna says yes.
I agree with that too.
Oh, we got a third? I will live
yes.
by the rule of three.
Yes.
All right then. Okay, feet flat on the floor again. And I'm quieting the line so we can have this and you can have it for your replay pleasure. You're going to breathe in deeply, in through the nose. Allow your eyes to close and your hands, if your hands want to fall in the position in your belly, relax your back so that you can do that. You put your hands softly on your belly and allow your thumbs to find your belly button. So they're kissing thumb to thumb in your belly button. Now allow your pointer fingers to meet and just kiss. And you'll see you're forming a triangle. And allow that triangle to just lay down. Now, about where your pinkies are when you allow that triangle of your hands to lay down and where your ovaries are. And I always like to just send some energy from those pinky fingers. Like little electric pulses. Just I want you to see little pulses of light going out. Like ovary finding little seekers. They'll find your ovaries. And you're just going to send some some beautiful smile energy to those ovaries, because our ovaries are the physical home of this ability to create. To create something out of nothing. To create a thing where a thing or no thing existed before. So let's smile into the ovaries. Give thanks for that. And now as you inhale deeply, feeling your belly expand underneath your hands, allow your attention to just drift and drop and sink into that place that is in the center of that triangle made by your thumb and four fingers touching. That space, beneath that space is your physical womb. And even if you no longer have a physical womb, we are seven-bodied beings. So even if you've had the physical one removed, and the physical ovaries removed, never fear. You still got six more taking up residence in the same space. So let's breathe into those now. Allow your consciousness to sink with your relaxed breath, focusing on the rise and fall of your belly. Now just see a beautiful column of light guiding you, guiding 100% of your attention into the interior space that lives in that sacred triangle. You are at home in this space. In this space, you are seated comfortably. There are walls of light and a column of light in the center, that same column of light that you rode in on. You can see before you. And if you look around the room, you see your sisters gathered. Maybe just shadows or a feeling impression of them. Maybe full technicolor vision. Either way, it's okay. These are your sisters gathered here in this circle and those in your extended circle. All the ones we brought in our circle invitation, they're here. And all of our wisdom makes up that column of light. And as you look into that column of light, notice how it will receive any and every thought, any and every image. Try it now. Send it an image. Send it an image of something you're grateful for. The blooming of a flower. A great meal you had recently. Your ability to laugh and smile. Send that column of light and image and notice how it just takes it right up and it expands it and sends it out into the entire universe. Immediately. And notice how that feels. To be able to offer yourself your thoughts, your ideas, your desires. To this infinite column of light and wisdom. Breathe and know that this infinite column of light and wisdom lives forever and always within you. Breathe and feel that column. Feel into it. Feel your connectedness with that light. Feel now that you can take from that light. You can ask it to give you anything, and it will, as long as you're willing to receive it. Open your hands and ask. Ask for anything now, and receive it from that light. See what the light is here to give you now. As you are in this receiving place, I want you to gently allow your hands to rise off your belly, palms upward, and in that receiving position, take in a deep breath, staying with this beautiful indwelling center of infinite wisdom that is your world, your power, your home. And with your hands receiving, I want you to open your eyes, staying in the womb center. Keep your hands open and in that receiving position. Look at your hands. Allow your eyes to close. And imagine you can still see your hands. Allow them to open and see them in the physical. You're practicing having dual sight. Sight in the invisible and sight in the physical. And receiving and allowing each with equal acceptance and love. Breathe that in. Stay in this centered place for as long as you can maintain it, knowing that you can always return to it. Stay in this space, and we will remain and answer. Ask and answer questions from this space of activated, awakened womb center. Now, please do not try to hold it by force. It takes some practice to hold that activation womb center. But if you've held it for even a moment, you've won. So, I've got a moment or so. We've got a few moments for questions. Who would like to go first?
I'll go, if it's okay.
Yes, and who is I?
I is Diva Impresade, a.k.a. Mercedes.
Impresade.
Greetings and love. There's a lot of succulents that I've been receiving from the womb centering, and I'm grateful for it. I'm wondering what other ways in which I can add more, I see having the succulents, that nurturingness, as being able to have a flow of wealth. So I'm wondering, in what other ways would you suggest to create more succulents and nurturingness in order to produce more wealth in life, in this life?
Well, I want you to keep practicing the womb centering, and particularly what we practiced just now, where you go to the center, you go to the light that you find there, you offer. And always do it in this order, please, Stephen. You offer what you are grateful for. You offer your love. You find something right now about your life right now, and especially this subject, the subject of your financial wealth right now. You find something to love, and you offer that to the light, and you watch how it is received. You observe what the light, what that column of light, what your womb does with it. And then after that observing, after that creative discernment, ask that prayer. Ask to see what you haven't seen. It may be succulents. It may be another quality that you're meant to see that you're not seeing. Because just listening to you, I have been hearing that succulents you got, but there may be some other qualities that you're not embracing because you've judged them as, I don't know, something distasteful or something you don't want to do. So from that space in your womb system, ask that, use that prayer, ask to see what you haven't seen.
Okay. Blessings, thank you.
You are most loved. Keep us posted how that is progressing. And you will have more, you'll have more opportunity to do that coming up. There are lessons that are very more specific to you looking at your physical numbers and practicing being in this applied womb centering space with that. So that you can see what you haven't seen there.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you, even if it's five figures in the red, there is a miracle there that you can build on.
Okay.
Next, Eva?
Hello, this is Diva April.
Diva April.
Yeah. Well, what I was talking to you this morning about this weekend, how I was awakened about certain situations and how I used to use my mind to think things through. Like, and I'm just going to say this, I went to a adult party, and in one section, it's just, you know, you just mingle and everything or whatnot, you know, and but what I noticed, the women was very open within their own sexuality. It wasn't like a lot of provocative things going on, but I was just noticing in the way they carried in their body language, the way that they mingled, the way that they talked, how open they were, and everything. And I'm thinking myself through the process, not actually feeling what's going on. So I didn't really engage effectively. But at that moment, I felt that for the first time, I never really used my sexuality as an expression. I always use it more in an intellect way or write about it. You know, I write a lot of poetry. I could use words, but I never really felt it within myself to express it, to be seen in it.
This is so important. I'm very happy you brought my attention back to this, because this creative discernment, this spiritual aspect of discernment that we're tapping into here, that what makes it an art and a pleasure is that it's in your body. It's not in your head. It's not a substitute mental virus. It's in what you feel. It's in opening yourself to that inspiration, and that inspiration does not come to the intellect. The intellect will interpret it and use it later and, you know, describe it later on down the line. But in the act of creation, in the act of creating the transformation that you are here to create, it's in your body. This is why we're grounding in the womb centering with this. It's in your body. It's in where you feel pleasure. It's in that feel good. And if you can't look for the feel good in your head. You can't look for the feel good as an intellectual exercise. You can only look for the feel good in your sweat and blood and skin. You can only look for the feel good by being really and truly loving who you are in that moment, loving who you is right here, right now. And when we move off into intellect, that's that other discernment where it's judgment. You were in that place, Eva April, doing all that because you were trying to do the right thing. You were trying to do the right thing. And I want you to let go of that, Eva. Let go. Again, just for now, this is a time period in this clinic. Practice letting go of doing the right thing. Do the you thing. Do the true thing. Do the thing that is showing you. Because you know what? The thing that's going to propel your transformation is not going to look like the right thing. Because the right thing is going to can only be the right thing according to your old paradigm. And your old paradigm is one that was ruled by all the mental viruses. So what's right to them is wrong to your transformation. So you cannot look for the right thing and get to your transformation. You can't be striving to do the right thing. You have to do the inspired thing. Do the thing that feels good, not just in a surface way, but in an inspired way. In an inspired desire way. That thing that won't go away, that thing that is just, ooh, gosh, I wish this thing would leave me alone because it's impossible. I can't do that. Doesn't it know, you know, what is my higher self smoking? Doesn't she know I can't be doing this? Doesn't she know I don't have the resources, I don't have the people? That's the inspired thing. And it will never, never, at this place of transformation, it will never feel like the right thing. It will feel like the wrongest, most dangerous, most uncomfortable thing. It will feel like the scariest thing. That's the thing you do. That's the thing you be. That's the thing you love. Before you even try to do it, you love it. Just love on it. 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 So that you have some energy to keep doing it. But eventually, not too long eventually, you will do it. So for you, loving on yourself. Just loving your ability to, one, notice that. Because that's a growth, that you were able to notice, hey, wait a minute, I'm in my head and not my body. My sister's over here, they're in their body. They're expressing all this sensuality and doing all these things, and I'm here intellectualizing about it. That is a win. That's perception. Now, I don't know if you had that perception in the absence of judgment, but here's the beautiful thing. You can reclaim that perception right here, right now, and you can re-experience that perception in the absence of judgment and turn it into creative discernment. Turn it into love.
And it's so funny that you mentioned about discernment, because the thing we were talking about, how one thing I'm not doing is because I'm afraid they are judging me, or I'm afraid what they may say. But, you know, it's always what other people think about. So when you're talking about discernment, maybe subconsciously I judge. I may not really say it like this in a way that I may know that I'm judging, but maybe subconsciously I am, because I'm thinking like they're judging me.
What's most likely, and you're not alone in this, Eva April, if we could, you know, if we were in a room and we had a show of hands, everybody's hand, including mine, would be up. You have, more than likely, you have accepted a survival belief that it's important for you to judge. And it's important for you to pass judgment. And that's okay. It's beautiful. I wanted you to love that, too. I want you to love it, because even though it's not effective right now, it came to you out of love. It's something, it's a mechanism, it's a survival mechanism you created out of love. And the only way you're going to release it is to allow yourself to love your capacity to have created that, so that you can reclaim that power. And now say, you know what, I'm going to choose differently now, but I'm not going to judge myself for having done this before. Accept the forgiveness that you always have been given by divine. You were forgiven for everything long before you ever thought of doing it or thinking it. Our problem is that we don't accept the blessing, the miracle of divine forgiveness. We keep punishing ourselves. And when we do that, we limit our creative ability to the parameters of that judgment, of that punishment.
Yeah.
Again,
I'm just taking it.
Embracing self-love and discarding self-improvement at every step, at every turn, and in every variety it shows up. There's a lot about the whole need to be light thing. I really encourage you to bring that and bring open a discussion for that in the circle online, because there's a lot. I know that a lot of us have that
one. I do. I recognize that. as well. Like, you want to be liked. You want to be a part. You want to be accepted and all those things. And I noticed I have that. And that's the part I really don't like to claim as myself.
I want you to claim it. Here's why I want you to claim it. Claim it. Claim it. I need to be liked. I used to have this. I used to think I needed to be liked. Up until this moment, I thought I needed to be liked. It's cool. Because here's the root of it. There's an actual true root to it. As a feminine being, the feminine energy, whether it's in human, animal, or mineral, feminine energy is fed and grows by means of adoration. We crave it. We need it. It's our food. It's our ambrosia. We need adoration. And it's wonderful because masculine energy, animal, vegetable, mineral, grows and is fed by adoring the feminine. But see, since, you know, you probably weren't told that early on, since you probably weren't introduced to that concept, all of us have learned to pervert that into, oh, I need to be liked. Because you want that feeling of adoration. And you're like, oh, well, I'll only get that if people like me. Well, the truth is you get it unconditionally. You get it unconditionally just for being who you are, just for being divine intelligence pelvically awakened. You get it for being a diva. You get it for being alive. You get it for being an embodiment of divine incarnate energy. You get it. It's yours. It came with you. It's not something you have to work for. Your adoration is guaranteed. But we're convinced that, you know, we have to improve ourselves, we have to earn it, we have to work for it, we have to merit it. And the way to go about doing that is to get other people to like us, which, you know, that is the biggest con game of all time. Get other people to like me. How the heck are you supposed to do that? You don't control other divine incarnate beings. So you learn all kinds of systems of manipulation and other ways to lie and control and doing all kinds of bliss-killing stuff that chips away at our ability to own our power, to own all of our magic, and especially our wealth magic, because wealth magic is intimacy. It's public intimacy. And if you don't trust the other people you share your world with, because they're always judging you and you got to get them to like you if you're going to have any sense of fulfillment. And damn it, what if they don't like me? I can't just be who I am. I better be who they think. They need me to be, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust them. You can't have intimacy. And if you can't have public intimacy, if you cannot exercise confident public intimacy, your wealth magic is going to be effed up. So, don't say you don't like that part of you. It comes from something true. It's the truth in you. It's the truth of your feminine nature saying to you, hello, I'm in here. This is what I really need. Adoration, pure, unconditional love. This makes me grow. And it has nothing to do with people liking me. It has to do with me loving me. And if you hadn't had that, you wouldn't be here right now having that message. So it's all blessed. It is all perfect. It is all worthy of you. And libation from those tears. I love it. All right, I'm going to make time for one more question, and then everybody else is just going to have to get on the circle online. Going once?
Hello?
Yes?
Hey, it's Diva Sophia. I just want to say that I just want to speak into the circle that I am so grateful that you are offering this clinic, because even having gone through, you know, your program, it's great to have it continuously, to have it again, to hear the things again, to remember some of the things, and it's always right on time when you're feeling, oh, I forgot that, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's some, I'm glad you bring that up, Jesus Sophia, because it's really important. There's this whole thing in Buddhism, you know, they talk about the beginner's mind, and you want to always cultivate that beginner's mind. This clinic, I know, you know, a lot of us who are taking part in it, and a lot of, you know, the sisters who are taking part in it, it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have some kind of crisis situation financially. You know what? What that means to each person is going to be different. You know, your crisis could be that you have $2 million and you need to raise $3.5 million, or you desire to raise $3.5 million. It matter the numbers. It doesn't matter where you are. Returning to the basics is always going to be a good practice, and not just in wealth magic, in everything. Returning to the basics, keeping up that an awareness, and reestablishing that beginner's mind. You know, I have to do it. If I didn't have to do it, y'all wouldn't be getting this. It wouldn't exist. If I didn't have to go through this myself, you all wouldn't have this. It would not exist for me to share it with you. And I thank you so much, Jesus Sophia, for saying that, because it's an important thing that I don't think I've said yet or stressed enough, that this work, the work of this clinic, there are going to be multiple times in our lives when we need to re-emerge and see. We need to, when we are called to remember how to apply radical self-love in a clinical fashion. So I want everyone to really to just accept and embrace that. Embrace that it's not about your circumstances. You may think your circumstances brought you here, but that's not it. It's the higher calling. It's the higher soul's desire that brought you here, that has you in this circle, that has you beginning the work of transformation and everything that will grow from that in the world, from what you do in this clinical circle. So, again, thank you, Jesus Sophia, for that. I give thanks for each and every one of you. I know we went over a little bit. It means this recording might be a bit long. We'll work that out and see how that happens. I give thanks to you. I give thanks for everything that you bring to this circle. And I give thanks for the beauty, the power, the impact of the transformation each and every one of you are up to and have written to me about and are committed to. As always, our circle is eternal and therefore can never be closed. We simply agree to adjourn and return. Thank you, Diva.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Thank you.
You.